This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
We have already checked in, got my registration badge, and registered for next year and everything as well. Keith Fields was the one who was checking in. Normally, I greeted by Joan Caesar and by Glenn Brown. However, I wasn't this year. Glenn also is the one who puts together the PDF that kind of tells what how many people are coming from different countries and what the program is, et cetera, et cetera. It always does a great job, and it's a real labor of love that he does. And I've got him with me right now to talk a little bit about the convention itself at the 4F. Here he is, Glenn Brown. Hello, Glenn.
Hi, Scott.
So glad that we've got this together again, the 51st. So we've gotten past the 50th, and we're looking forward to the next 50, I guess, yeah?
Exactly.
So with this one, we've got three different guests of honor. And but before we get that, I know that it's limited as to registrations, how many people that we can have. And is it 200, or how many people actually are here then?
We have about 207.
Okay.
Maybe-ish. Yeah. You know, it changes. I heard Ricardo Rosenkrantz couldn't make it and didn't tell us until yesterday. So,
So there are some people kind of like that. I know you got a little bit of room, but not a lot necessarily.
Not a lot. We have the hotel pretty well full.
And this is the second year for us at this hotel, isn't that right?
Yes.
And so the one we had at Batavia, why did we move from Batavia to here?
The hotel in Batavia is undergoing renovations. Huh. And it's a long process, I guess. So we haven't been able to go back. We may go back, but this hotel has a lot going for it.
It really does. It has a lot more amenities. It is so much closer, obviously, to the airport and then near shopping mall and a lot of restaurants.
Yeah. Well, you can't walk. You can walk in any direction 5 minutes and run into a restaurant.
Restaurant, yeah.
Which is kind of nice.
Someplace. And I mentioned also, like, when you put together the program, the PDF and everything, tell me a little bit of the statistics that you remember as far as how many people from countries, other countries outside the U.S.
Well, we had 208, about 130 are from the U.S. The rest are spread amongst 17 countries.
Wow.
And just give me a second here.
I know in the past that this is used to be, of course, wasn't limited to just people from the U.S., but it wasn't until Obi really started expanding this and inviting a lot more people from other countries. And as it became more and more of a type of a convention that people really wanted to go to, it became more popular among people outside the U.S. So what were the numbers?
Well, the basic numbers, 17 countries from four continents, 21 from Canada, 10 each from, I'm going to say, Korea and England, 7 from France, 3 each from China, Germany, and Japan, et cetera. I mean, yeah. It truly is international.
It really is, and we get that flavor then with all the performers that are here. I know in the past we've had like certain shows that have been like the Italian show or the Spanish show or something. They don't have anything like that as a theme this
year. Tomorrow night is the Korean gala.
Oh, okay.
So we're doing a tribute to Charming Choi, who's a television star in South Korea, and followed by a gala that he'll be the MC, and there's a bunch of young guys from South Korea here. Right now they're in the dealer room demoing all sorts of interesting and unique products.
Is Jackie Yu here also this year? I thought he was supposed to be the host for Charming Choi, but
I'm not sure who. I thought it was Steve, but we'll see.
Okay. You haven't seen Jackie? Is he here, though? Would you know?
Yeah, he's here.
He is here, okay.
I believe so.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I thought I saw his name on the program, having something, maybe he's in the
Jackie
show.
Yu? Yeah. Yeah, is he, I thought he was Taiwanese. He's
Asian, sorry, I'm not,
yeah,
I don't
know,
remember.
I know, I get a bit mixed up. Well, I'm just going to go back and get this accurately so I can.
Yeah, I know we've got three different people, Charming Choi being the third, and internationally, and the others that we have include the first night, and we'll see, we got Jimmy C, and then the first night was with, from Germany, Christian Schenk. That, what was it? I'm sorry.
This is a show last night, and Liu, oh gosh.
It was hard to pronounce his name.
Sing Zen, I guess, did a coin routine that got him a standing ovation.
And he was the first one out of the bat.
He was the first one out of the bat, but it's probably the best coin routine I've seen in my life.
I have to agree with that. I don't know where those coins came from.
It's just real magic. So that's the only explanation.
Yeah. Well, I'll talk with Mark D'Souza more about this later, but that was amazing because he had his sleeves rolled up and he's having volunteers who are seated at the table who are checking his hands, showing nothing there, and then he produces coins.
Yeah. It was an amazing
Without routine. Approaching the table or his body or anything, apparently, that I could see.
Yeah. No. It was a pretty routine, that's for sure.
It was beautiful. Well, again, a lot of people who are here this year and looking forward to next year. Of course, right now it's still planned for the same hotel, I guess, as next year as well.
Next year, we're planning on coming here. We have not yet signed a contract for next year.
I always ask because I know there are new people who are listening to this that may not have heard previous year's reports, and that is for people who think, man, this sounds like a great convention. How do I get to go? So explain what the requirements are here.
Well, the requirements are pretty simple. We ask people to provide two sponsors, people who have attended 4F who more than once, and a 5-minute video of what they will perform at 4F. Mm-hmm. And we've added a little more rigor to the process by asking for the videos. And then we have a committee that looks at the videos. And I think we had about, a little over a dozen. A couple didn't make it. You know, they needed a little more polish.
They weren't ready yet.
Not ready yet. I think they will. I mean, anyone who goes to the step of getting two sponsors and doing a video, anyone who goes to that amount of trouble, is someone that we want at 4F.
I have a friend who had asked me to sponsor him for this, and I said, I don't think you're ready yet. And a few years later, he came back and asked again. And I said, I think you are. And I did. And he's been attending and he does a great job and he loves this. And one of the first things he said to me, he said, I was so hurt when you said you're not ready yet. And now that I'm here and I see what you're talking about, I wasn't. And now I am. And, you have to be committed to do that. And so I think it's important you try to vet the right people if you are making a recommendation, because it's my word that's on the line also of vouching for someone, mm-hmm. But also that I understand you have to have, I remember what Obi was requiring is for the person who wants to come to actually request it too. You just can't have two people say, hey, you need to have so-and-so. The person that so-and-so needs to actually send an email to you or Joan, I guess, and saying, I would like to attend.
Yes, precisely.
And so who do they send that to?
Well, I'll give you the link offline. We've now set up PayPal accounting, and we're in the process of changing how some of that process is going to work. For now, you can send something to Joan or I.
Okay.
So.
And then, again, you can send back to them saying, well, you also need to have these sponsors. You have a couple people to recommend you and everything, too.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Glenn, thanks very much. It's been a great convention here so far.
You can edit this
part. Oh, about Charming Choi. Sorry. Yeah, we were just talking about him being one of the guests, and there was an issue with him coming, yes, thank you. So tell me a story about him.
He, getting off the plane, he lost his passport, couldn't find his passport. And I don't know how he managed to lose it from the plane into immigration, but he did. And the only solution that they could come up with is that he had to get himself to New York City, without a passport, so he couldn't fly, to the Korean consulate in New York to get a new passport. And one of our guys, I say one of our guys, he's almost like a mascot for 4F. He's helped us immensely with all sorts of things. He the risers that we all sit on are his, and he stores them and sets them up and tears them down. And with Charming Choi, he at 3 o'clock in the morning, he drove him to New York.
How far of a drive is that from here?
Well, 5 hours.
Wow. Okay.
So drove him to New York, waited until he could get a passport. And that, you know, normally getting a passport is a several months process. Mm-hmm. Got a passport and drove him back.
Wow.
And he's not a magician. He's a friend of, the best way to describe him is a friend of 4F. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, he definitely is if he does things like that. Again, and providing the bleacher seats and everything too.
Yeah. Well, it's just, I was flabbergasted.
Yeah.
So, but that very nice thing that he did.
Should we say what his name is?
His name is Tom Phelps.
There we go. Thank you, Tom. Great job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Appreciate that. And thank you very much also, Glenn, for putting this together every year.
Oh, it's certainly not just me.
Yeah.
You know, we have a big group of people that put it together. Paul Richards came on as treasurer. Catalina Absalon has been working on incorporation. We're now incorporated as a not-for-profit, so it's 4F Magic Inc. Mm-hmm. And it's the entire process isn't complete, but most of it is. Mm-hmm. And that's represented an awful lot of work. We're looking at trying to contract hotels in a longer term.
Sure.
You know, like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, might get a better deal that way then too.
Well, we can hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a bad deal. You know, be it here. It's a nice location and everything, like you had said. Glenn, thanks again very much. It's been
You're
great.
Welcome.
So with the Magic Word Podcast. That's Glenn Brown. Scotty out. This is the 51st year of the 4F convention. The last year, of course, was the 50th, but we have been trying to do that 50th for a long time because of COVID. It kept getting pushed back and pushed back, but we finally have it. Now we're moving forward. But one of the people who was the longest who had ever attended was Tom Craven, and he has passed. And so I think the next last man standing happens to be Dick Cook, who's with me right now. Hey, Dick.
Yeah. Hi. Hi.
Yeah. And Dr. Cook,
Dick, yeah,
as a dentist, weren't you a dentist?
No, optometrist.
Optometrist.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
So you have been coming almost as long as Tom and everybody else.
Yeah.
So when did you get coming?
Yeah, 47 years now. And I consider that kind of like a perfect attendance record in junior high school.
Or Sunday school.
And then, no, not Sunday, junior high. In the eighth grade, I had a close to perfect attendance, and but I would have rather been the quarterback of the football team because he got laid, and a perfect attendance didn't give me anything for that. So
that's
good
point.
Mean quite as much.
With perfect attendance, you don't get to take out the homecoming cheerleader, do you?
No. You don't even get a video, you know.
No, you don't. Over the years, has there been something, someone, or an event, or something that's either happened on stage or off the
camera? Yeah, one of the things that I noticed, that when I started, the Elmsley count was a big thing. We didn't have things like Ascanio spread, and the ability to see new techniques was not available. But over the last 50 years, the techniques have improved tremendously. However, the presentations have not improved at all.
Well, that's kind of interesting.
Why are you looking at me, Dick? Look at
that. By him.
That was Gene Gordon. You heard him yesterday.
Yeah.
And Gene does a great job. But anyhow, so you had, as far as the presentations goes, you mean as far as the scripting and everything?
Yes. So here's
is that a good or bad thing?
terrible, terrible. Here, let me get. So the director says to the actor, he said, I want you to stand up from your chair and go over and pick up the revolver and look at it. And I want you to say, this revolver has your fingerprints on it, and the powder burn on your left hand shows that you were the murderer.
Okay.
Okay, that's how a director says it to. Now, a director to a magician says, I want you to stand up from the chair and walk over to the table and look at the revolver and say, well, what do you say? Whatever comes to your mind.
Oh, now scenes up.
I see. And do you think the level of performers here are that kind of people? I mean, I see, but I think there are a lot of professionals here, you know, who's a little scripted.
Well, if you don't script your magic, you're not a magician. The best story wins.
That's true.
You know, so one of the things that I wrote in the book of the 4F in the introduction is Eddie Fechter could do something with cards that I've seen very few magicians do. He could entertain.
And that's why people came back to the Forks all the time to see him. Regular people.
The magic is not about the tricks. Here, here's a good one. If this should be a good podcast. Robert Houdin was wrong. He says a magician is an actor playing the part of a magician. No, he was wrong. It was a couple hundred years ago. He didn't know. A magician is a director to the actors, to the spectators who are the actors in the magic trick. If without the actors, without the spectators, there is no magic. You are not the magic. Do you know?
So in other words, the magicians do not put the eye in magic.
If you can finish your trick that you do and you can say, that just goes to show you, look how clever I am, then you should eliminate that trick from your repertoire.
That is great advice.
If the spectator says, I can't believe I did that. I did that.
The volunteer.
That's magic.
Yeah. Just pondering that. That's good advice and good recognition kind of who's doing the real magic.
It's not about you.
Yeah.
Not about you. You are the director.
Isn't that kind of what Bernard Sedlicek was talking about in his lecture?
Oh, he's super sharp. He got it. Oh, how many get it? I'll tell you this. When I started magic, only 1 out of 20 got it. Still, 1 out of 20 got it. So we didn't make much progress in that. And that's what shows you, hey, I'm working 7 days a week in Las Vegas. Do you ever see my show? Oh, I've been there for 5 years. I got a trick to Summer Market. Where do I see your show? Well, if you ever walk on the pedestrian overpass between Caesar's Palace and Bally's, I'm right in the middle. Hey, it didn't progress as far as I thought it should.
Yeah.
It really didn't.
Well, I see your point.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying over there.
This would be a different kind of interview.
Well, I appreciate that.
You'll lose subscribers. Yeah, don't buy those tricks. You cannot buy magic. You can only buy props. They don't sell magic.
I was just having lunch with Danny Archer and some other guys. And Danny was talking about one time when he was at the Tower Barn restaurant where Doc Eason was working. And John Stetson was one of the guests. And he stood behind the bar. And he did 45 minutes, did three tricks.
Yeah.
He was so good that Bob Sheets was supposed to follow him, and Bob said, I can't. I'm not coming off.
See, Bob Sheets knows. He's one of the ones that know. There aren't too many that know. He knows. I mean, another thing from the book, and I think this is really true, is that I wrote in the book, and I think this is the best line, is a good magician could make you laugh. A great magician can make you cry. You know, if somebody trips and falls, it's easy to get a laugh.
Sure.
But let's see you do a trick and make them cry. And then let's see you make them laugh after that. If you could do that, you've done magic.
Yeah. It has to be some sort of an emotional hook. Yeah.
Gotta be.
That people are going to remember.
If there's no emotion, there's no magic.
And again, going back to Bernardo's points as far as making magic important and individual, perfect example. I was having lunch with him then yesterday. We'd taken a selfie with the group that we were there with, and early on. And then later, just before we finished dinner, he said, well, let me show you something. And he did. And he ended up with this particular card. And he said, oh, by the way, he said, remember that selfie we took? Go back and look at that picture.
Yeah.
And that had the Ace of Hearts. Oh, he was shuffling a deck and had that card.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's like, well, you know, who was expecting that? But he had, was thinking so far in advance, you know.
Yeah. You know, I think some better to say how, when they approach a table or something like that, they go, how do you approach a table? And they go, would you like to see a magic trick?
No.
How about this instead? Would you like to hear a good story about my grandfather?
I've got a good buddy of mine, Dick Olson, and he does a holy moly, you know, Jay Sankey's washer trick. Okay. And his opening line is, would you like to hear a silly story?
Yeah.
And that's what he calls this, the silly story. And then he talks about this. He's got a great routine, you know, with this. But that's interesting because it's related. Rather than saying, you want to see a trick? No. But do you want to hear a silly story? Do you want to, you know, do you want to learn something new? Would you like to, you're asking and appealing to their interests, you know. That's a very good point then, Dick,
yeah.
You got then, too.
Yeah.
You're referring to the book then a while ago. And for people who are wondering, what book is he talking about?
4F book.
The 4F book, which is available, I think.
Every place, yeah. I wrote, I didn't write. That's the video. They took my video and wrote the words. I have a trick in there, Manchurian Candidate, which is a great trick. But it's the best story wins. It's not about finding the card they pick. It's here. So in 1937, outside of Warsaw, Poland, I'm Polish. My grandfather's last name was Basista, was a farmer. And he used to go to the tavern and drink at night.
Yeah.
And the group of Nazis invaded Poland in 1939. And in 1937, there was a group of was soon to become the SS there drinking. And one of them, in his drunkenness, knocked off a coin to the floor. And my grandfather picked it up, and here's what he did with it.
Wow.
You want to hear that?
Yeah. Well,
I just made it up. I don't have a trick.
But something like that, it gets them interested.
Yeah. Here, let me show you a trick with a half dollar and a silver dollar.
Here.
Yeah. Watch. And what? On one hand, I'm putting a half dollar. And the other hand, now watch. I'm crossing my hands. And now look, in the left hand, the silver dollar was there in the right. I forgot what hand was in there in the first place.
Right.
And who cares? I don't care. How did that down?
But if you make that important to them by saying this is a coin, like you said, it's 1937 or whatever.
Yeah, you got it. The best story wins.
Yeah, well, that's true. All right, they're getting ready for our 1:30 show over here. Dick, thanks very much.
Sure.
As always, good seeing you, my friend. It's the Magic Word Podcast. That was Dick Cook. Scotty out. One of the guys who has been coming to the 4F for a long number of years and also hosted one of the afternoon galas I've got with me right now, and also I had him as a separate episode some years ago then as well. So you have to go back and take a look for that. If you just do a search for Daryl Rose, you will hear that, and you can hear him actually right now because here he is. Hey, Daryl.
Hi, how are you doing, Scott?
I'm fantastic, and I'm so glad to see you here again. Did you came over just for 4F? Are you doing anything before or after?
No. We just literally flew in for 4F, but I got Monday because I like to acclimatize my body. So
good for you.
So
that
because once it starts, it doesn't end. So no. You have very little sleep. So it's always good to arrive.
I didn't get the donuts last night or anything. I mean, I crashed.
Oh, well, the good ones. I can recommend the chocolate cream. That was a very nice donut.
I'll try to go for that first.
Exactly.
They're the ones
that go first. So yeah, be quick.
Now, this was what number for you? How many to 10?
Do you know what? I think it's either 10 or 11. Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, every time you come, it's coming back to family. Mm-hmm. There is no other convention in the world like this. I mean, I do Blackpool. Obviously, I go to the Magic Circle every single week and have done for the last 37, 38 years, but there's nothing like this. It's just everyone looks forward to seeing each other. Everyone embraces each other.
There's so much sharing.
So much sharing, so much caring as well.
You know, everyone, I think that's the word right there.
Yeah.
Whenever I go to other conventions, let's say that are session conventions, like I haven't been to the session, but it's sponsored by Vanishing Ink, and of course, Magi Fest is a big session kind of a thing they have over here. And I've been to Tricks Convention and other. But the sessions they have here are a little bit different. I think it's hard to explain, but it is a caring kind of a thing, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you're part of a club that you're very honored to be invited to. And then once you're in, I think you just never want to leave. And the moment it's over on Saturday night, people are counting down to next year.
They really are.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, the pre-registration desk is already open from next year. Yep. And of course, the more people that pre-register the year before means that's very likely that less people are going to come next year, because of course, to be invited, there is a limit, and it's only the few that say no, that don't come back next year, which opens up the spaces for some newbies.
So did you travel over with some other mates from London?
Or? Yeah, there was a few from England and some from Scotland. So we've got a nice little contingency, not too big, just enough. I think there's about
half dozen or so.
Yeah, something like that.
But you've had more in the past.
We have. In fact, I remember probably about 6-7 years ago, we had a British gala. So we
That was the one you were hosting.
Yeah,
that's
that's what I hosted. And there was like 10 or 12 of us from the, I think it was the United Kingdom gala, as opposed to, because there's some Scots in it as well.
Yeah.
So we mustn't leave them out. I don't think there was any Welsh or Northern Irish.
Or Irish.
No. Northern Irish. You've got to be precise. Because Ireland's part of the EU, remember?
Yeah, that's right.
And I won't mention Brexit in any conversation, because that happened a long time ago.
That actually went through, didn't it?
Well, yeah, if you read the news, yeah, I think so. I think it was about 6 years ago, so absolutely. But it hasn't affected magicians in any which way, because we all love each other.
That's
and
right.
And it doesn't matter from wherever you go in the world, you can always look up a magician.
Well, that's the thing. I think, you know, the magic is a brotherhood, certainly, and I talked about that a little bit earlier in one of these chats with someone in which I feel that we're really not talking about politics, religion, or science. I mean, we're talking about magic, you know, and there's a brotherhood and family that transcends all that, and you could have any faith, any color, you know, any race or whatever. I mean, it's like we're here to do card tricks.
I say amen to that. No, you're 100% right. There is no politics. There is no skin color. There is no race. As you say, it's just magic, and it's just the sharing. And I don't think there's any other hobby or profession in the world that does what we do. I really don't. And, you know, and I travel for work a lot as well. And I travel the world. And the moment I'm there, if I have time, I will look up a magician and magic club, and I'm invited in and embraced. And immediately embraced. And you take out a deck of cards and a double lift's a double lift. And it doesn't matter. And you put a smile on your face, and you can force a card, and you see people's faces light up. And it is a very special thing, and I'm so glad at the age of 10 I got involved with magic. And
do you like to do magic improvisationally, or I should say extemporaneously? In other words, would you do it for the registration clerk, you know, the hotel?
Yeah, absolutely. Already that, you know, Monday afternoon, they went, "You're the magicians," and yeah, straight away I showed them something, and that's why I got my room upgrade. But don't tell anyone too much. Yeah, they gave me a room upgrade, and I'm instead of over the car park, I'm overlooking the mall. So it's much better, and I'm on the 8th floor, not the 1st floor.
Well, there are perks, certainly, because I think as a magician that just kind of like, oh, you're a nice guy, and we'll give you something, and whether they upgrade your room, or they'll give you free dessert at a restaurant or something, if you got to make them smile. I think
I mean, one of the guests of honor is Jimmy C, of course, and you know, when I go to Florida every Christmas, because I've got some
family
there, you know, I always spend some time with Jimmy, and everywhere he goes, he's doing and spreading smiles, spreading laughter and magic everywhere he goes. And we don't ask for it. He doesn't ask for it. But yeah, we get free drinks at the bar. You know, they come, you know, the starters, you know, for your entrees. And, you know, they don't have to.
Right.
They do it because they want to, because Jim is entertaining. We're entertaining. We're giving something back to them. They're appreciating it. And,
tit for tat. Everybody else kind of give you something back.
It's win, win, win.
Right, right. I mean, although that you're not doing that in order to try to get something back for that.
No, not at all.
Yeah, yeah. Whenever that you are at the Circle, I know that you've been involved for the last several years since they had decided to start on Monday night live streaming during COVID, I guess.
No. We've actually been streaming before then. You know, we've built up a date. We've always recorded our show. So we've got an archive that now goes back 35, 40 years, you know, which are all being digitized. So if you wanted to look up Ali Bongo, for example, one of the late greats, you know, from 1982, we'll have it on our database. But yeah, we stream every single Monday night. Mm-hmm. At our shows or our lectures, which I arrange. So I'm still chair of the Club Night Committee, which I've been for the last 11 years. So it's a tall task, because, you know, it's 52 weeks a year, and fifth show or a lecture or a demonstration.
How far out are you booked?
About 6 months in advance.
Right.
So if you fancy coming to do a lecture, then get in touch with me. Daryl at darylrose.com is probably the best thing. That's DARYL @DARYLROSE.com. booking next year, please send in your details of exactly what's entailed into your lecture and a few references, and I'll check you out. And you too can, you know, come lecture at the Magic Circle. We will stream you to our membership worldwide, and we will record you for prosperity, for our archive, so that, you know, in years to come, new members will be able to look you up and see what you did.
Right. And I know that you're still accepting members, and anything you want to do about pitching membership?
Absolutely. No, if you come to themagiccircle.co.uk and /join us, I do believe, fill in the form. You can now actually audition online, so you don't have to be there in person. And of course, it's a huge bonus now having the streaming, because you do have access to all that now database. For international members, it's not too expensive, and you get to stream and watch every single lecture, every single week of the year, as well as the past archive. So, as well as the Magic Circular, the magazine that we have, and why not? I mean, we're not like the Magic Castle. We're an organization. Okay. We're an organization for members. We're not for profit. We're for, you know, magic history. We have our 15,000 books in our library. We have our 163-seat theater at the back of Euston Station, as well as a museum. And we take care of magic and props and our archive. And that's, you know, paying it forward.
Right. And the organization is like 115 years old now?
In 1905, we were formed at Panoda's Restaurant in Soho, where if you ever go into Soho, if you remember in London near Leicester Square, just at the beginning of Chinatown, where there's the Chinese gates, if you look up into the gables, you can see where the original Panoli's restaurant was, and there is a blue plaque from the heritage site saying that, you know, on this site the Magic Circle was formed in on the date in 1905.
Yeah,
so it's a good thing to have. You know, the Magic Circle is still highly regarded in the world and in the United Kingdom. You know, if you say you remember the moment you're at a gig and they say you remember the Magic Circle, because everyone knows the Magic Circle, and I'm proud to say yes, I am.
Yeah, by having that acronym behind your name, it means something.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I'm also so proud to be a member of 4Fs. You know, wearing that 4F pin means the world to me, along with my MIMC.
Both. It really do. And one last thing before we close then is about this convention, and what have you seen here so far that has stood out for you?
Oh, well, that's putting me on the spot, isn't it? Alexandra Duvivier was just fabulous with the effect that she did. There's too many to mention. Jaffo from Florida, he just did the most amazing billiard ball trick with the
Jerry Andrus
thing. That was great. Sensational. There's a couple of very clever French guys that were performed. Their name is
the Asian fella. I can't remember his name. We did the coin thing last night.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. It just gets better and better and better. And the beauty of it is that everyone's limited to 5 minutes unless you're a FISM award winner. So even if, you know, one particular thing is not too likely, you only have to wait 5 minutes until something else blows.
That's a good point. And that's something that they have just done recently over the last few years, because it used to be that you go on. It seemed like it was too long.
Yeah, no, absolutely. 5 minutes is absolutely perfect. And that way we can see more performers.
Absolutely.
So over this, you know, this week we get to see 75 performers, something like that, 75, 80 performers. Where else, you know, in the world at any magic convention do you get to see that amount of great talent? And don't forget, they're FISM award winners and competition winners and past presidents and presidents.
Well, this afternoon, whenever that Marietta as the MC kept saying, okay, this guy's been on Penn and Teller Foolish, or this guy's been a winner on Penn and Teller. I think every person who was on that there was a Penn and Teller Foolish show.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And if you watch Penn and Teller carefully, you know, all the 4Fers every single time we're wearing their 4F pin.
I've noticed that. And also, I don't know about British Got Talent, but on America's Got Talent, I mean, like Shin Lim and others who have been on there, they wear their 4F pin.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well.
Everywhere you go in the world, if you're wearing a jacket and you're spotted by another 4Fer, okay, and you're not wearing that pin, you get fined that $10.
That's right. Well, it's gone up. It used to be $5. But as for Penn and Teller Foolish, I think I'd heard a statistic. There are more veterans of 4F than any other, magicians. Basically, they said that of them, I want to say like 35% of magicians who have been on Penn and Teller have
than 4F veterans.
That's amazing. And I wouldn't believe every statistic, because don't forget 78.62% of statistics are made up on the spot.
On the spot.
On the spot.
That's right. Exactly. Daryl, thanks very much. Appreciate your time as always, and end of your friendship as well.
Absolutely. Absolute pleasure seeing you, Scott, and welcome home.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Daryl Rose, Scotty S. One of the guys that I always talk to, it seems like at every convention, is a dealer and a good friend and a fellow martini drinker, and he enjoys the fine life, and someone that I always like to get the dealer's perspective, and so that's why you hear so much of him all the time on this podcast. Here he is, Patrick Przecki from Pat's Mats. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Scott. Hey, thanks for having me. This is it's great to see you.
As well, and this is a great convention, as always, and since you are selling mats, I would think this is the place. I mean, this is the close-up convention. So you've been coming here for years, I know.
Yeah, most of the guys have a lot of the stuff already. I have some new stuff every once in a while. Yeah. This is just a great convention, and they're all close-up guys.
You're seeing it from a different perspective, though, you know, from the standpoint of being in the dealer's room all the time as opposed to being – but they close during the lectures, don't they?
Well, this convention is different. We just open up when guys are not doing anything really. Mm-hmm. They know what I have, and I like to sit down and watch all the shows and lectures. So some of them have to track me down to have me open up so I can sell them something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you, and you're taking orders, custom orders, and you go back and engrave or embroider or whatever?
Yeah. We do a lot of custom work, a lot of sizes and logos, printing. We got a new project coming out we hope to launch at Magic Live. Mm-hmm. It's something kind of brand new.
Okay.
And that's what's going on. Yeah.
Very cool. So far, what have you seen as far as in the lecture room and the performances that's kind of fried you or you love?
Well, you know, I've spent more time in the seeing on every show and the lectures. And Jimmy C's been a great friend, and he's got a lot of great stuff that that I use. And Jimmy's just—he loves magic and just the little things. Sometimes you go to a convention, and it's not the big stuff you see.
Yeah,
it's a little stuff you see in the lobby or right at the bar or somewhere afterwards.
It's a little gag or a joke or a line sometimes that you take away. It may not be a full-blown routine or a trick or an act or something, but you're right. There are sometimes those little things that could be added saying, oh, I like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's that. I always grab something. So yeah, if you go away with something that you can use, every convention's worth it.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Well, yeah, the one thing that you can use, of course, is friendship. And that's one thing that, of course, this specializes in, I think, is just being like a big family, that it's just so friendly here, you know.
Well, that's just it. You know, you see the big stars of magic, and they're just like the regular Joes getting jokes played on them at the shows.
Yeah.
They take humor really well. And it's just totally different. It's all friendship really here.
I was good seeing Bill Malone. I haven't seen him at a convention for a long time.
Yeah, there's a couple guys that haven't been here for a while. Bill, Oscar Munoz hasn't been here in a long time. Mm-hmm. So it's great to see some of the guys come back and just renew that friendship.
Yeah. Now, you were here from the first day. Did you drive over from Ohio? Or?
Yeah, it's only about 4.5 hours from here. So it's a nice drive. I get in and I get the car and take a few guys out to dinner and, you know, had some wheels. So
yeah,
it's kind of nice to get around.
That's good. And so you're going to be heading back, I guess, on Sunday. Or are you going to hang around for MAES?
It's Maunee, actually.
Maunee, sorry.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right. Close, yeah. Same area.
Starts with an M.
They have some great entertainment that stays over here. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to might be on the bill next year, but
okay.
I can't stay this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're not going to be a dealer. You're heading back Sunday.
I am not. Okay. I'm not. I've got a gig Sunday night, so I can't do it.
Well, that's a good deal.
Yeah.
That something is guaranteed money. Well, I have stayed for Maunee a few times in the past, and I have called that one of the drive-in conventions because people drive in for the one-day convention, and after dinner, they have the show. And so by about 8 o'clock, everything is done, gone with, and they empty the parking lot and the lobby. I mean, it's amazing. People just in and out because they got to go to work tomorrow.
That's right. Yeah, well, they're all from around here. They get some great entertainment, and they don't have to, you know, stay in a hotel. And they start pretty early, with that big auction, and it's fun too.
It is fun, and they get the advantage, as you just said, of having the people who are going to be staying over. Like I know in the past, we've had Juan Tamaras and some of the people who have been guests of honor. They may not be able to afford otherwise. I say they, I mean, any convention may not be able to afford them because these guys, because of bringing people over with the transportation costs, but they're already here and might as well stay for an extra night, and you're not having to spend that much more. So Monty is a good convention. I think a lot of people should come and attend if you just are looking for a one-day thing and you're anywhere in the area. You know,
yeah, that's a great deal. It really is. The guys that run it are great. They're from 4F, and you know, they make it happen.
Yeah. Monty, by the way, is Magicians Alliance of Western New York, which is where the acronym comes from. I was confusing that with the MAAS. I was thinking of the Magicians Alliance of Eastern States, which is coming up, I think, this fall over in Cherry Hills, New Jersey.
Yeah, that's where it usually is. I attended that. It's been like 10 years. I have to get back.
Yeah. Well, same with me. I was MC or performed there one time. It's a great convention. Mark D'Souza puts that together with some other guys, Jerry Corsillo and some others in the area, and it's a fun time, certainly. From here, what is your next convention? Where are you going to be going next?
Well, last year I worked so many conventions, I took some time off. The next one is Magic Live. Mm-hmm. Then I'll be in Texas to see you at TAOM. And then I'll be attending the Trix convention in Charlotte in November, which is, if you're a close-up guy, mm-hmm. That's the real deal.
That's about as close to the 4F as I can think of, because Scott Robinson is the one who puts that together, who is a 4F-er, and he has put together just some stellar talent each year that they bring over. A lot of times there are people from other countries come over because it is on the East Coast and they've got a big airport, so they can bring some people over fairly inexpensively, as opposed to in Dallas where we've got to fly people a lot further in from overseas. But he has these sessions and everything that happened late in the evening as well. So it's, in many ways, some of the guys from 4F do, like you and I, have been there. And so it's a fun convention. I recommend Trix, T-R-I-C-S, which is the Tri-C's or the 3 C's, which is Carolina Close-Up Convention.
Yeah, so it's either the Tri-C Convention or the Trix Convention. I like to call it Trix.
Trix, yeah.
But they have the Slight Club.
Yes.
Which, and just, the people that are in it are held to a high standard, and the close-up
serious.
Convention, the close-up magic you see in the lobby there, just from their group, is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it is. Patrick, always good seeing you. Hope things continue to go well. The dealer's room in there, and I will see you at Magic Live next time, I guess. And then again, I think you're going to be staying at my house maybe for a day or two early.
Oh, we'd love it.
Okay, we'll see how everything goes. Hopefully, I'll still be around. I mean, I don't know what's happening because I've been traveling a bunch. So thank you. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Patrick Prezecki.
Bye, everybody. Yeah. Thanks, Scott.
But I don't know for sure. I got to look.
3, 2, and 1, Rick Wilcox. One of the people we spoke with there yesterday was Jimmy C, who has been doing the AV for a long number of years for the 4F convention. But another guy who's been working with him for a long time, who knows a little bit about AV, because he's got his own show and his own theater up in the Wisconsin Dells, and that's Rick Wilcox, who is with me right now. Hey, Rick.
How you doing?
Fantastic. And also, you're going to be hosting the Ed Talks. Is that right? Tomorrow?
No. I did that last year.
Oh, you did.
I talked about
Christian and Catalina are doing that.
Yeah, Christian and Catalina. Next year we're going to be doing something else.
Okay.
Talking about, I don't know, whatever they want me to talk about. But we're celebrating 25 years this year, 25 years in existence of our theater.
Yep.
And June 1st and 2nd, we're having a big party, inviting a lot of magicians up, and we're going to do our show on one night, and the next day we're going to have a combination of other magicians.
Like a little magic festival kind of thing?
Yeah, Gene Anderson will be there.
Yeah.
People that have contributed to the theater.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Chris Pillsworth, who always comes every year. We're always working on something together.
Right. Yep.
He's going to do some magic, and a couple other friends.
Yep.
Michael Lamar is going to be there, and
okay.
He's going to do a lecture afterwards the next day, and we're going to have a big party. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Are you going to be in advertising this anyway, or having other magicians you're inviting in? Is there a charge for that?
It's just a party, so okay. If anybody wants to come, they're welcome to come.
Cake and ice cream will be served.
Dessert and pizza and
okay.
You know, a good show and a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is. You have a great show. You have a nice theater, and I know you continue to work on that and build it all the time. And where you've got the parking lot, the different things we've talked about over the years about how that you built this up and everything. And I'm sure it's just it is the number one attraction, and not just the Wisconsin Dells, but all of Wisconsin.
Midwest. Yeah. In fact, Reader's Digest rated us as number one attraction in Wisconsin.
In the whole state of Wisconsin.
Yes.
Yeah. That's great. And that's not the only award that you have received. Tell me about this.
It was pretty exciting, you know, celebrating 25 years. And just 2 weeks ago, we were informed that we're receiving the Melbourne Christopher Award for Illusionist, Best Illusionist. Wow. And that's quite an honor.
And there's going to be a dinner or a celebration, a big
award ceremony. And they're going to be honoring several different people. So you can look it up and see who the award,
who the others are.
Yeah. Jonathan E. Brown will be there. So my friend Bill Schmelk is getting awarded. Mm-hmm. And he's built some really great illusions for us over the year.
Right.
And I believe Willie Kennedy's getting an award too. But
is he really? Well, he's getting the fellowship award at the Academy this year, because Mike Miller and myself and Willie are the three that are getting fellowships.
Awesome. Yeah. So he had asked me to send some videos of some of the illusions that he's created for me over the years. And so he's an awesome builder and awesome guy. And very fortunate.
And he lives in California, doesn't he?
Yeah. He's in. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be coming up when? Do you know when that ceremony is going to be? The spring? It's coming up like in the summer?
I think it's the award ceremony is the end of October.
Okay. Not until later this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But obviously, we want to talk about it now before our season starts. So we got to do
the 25th season.
Yeah.
So you got all new illusions, or what are you doing? Well, what's making this year special?
This year, we're going to try to do the best of. We're going to do our best stuff. Mm-hmm. And
pull some things out of the warehouse.
We are certainly for that party. Mm-hmm. We're pulling some stuff out we haven't done for quite a while.
And again, you say it's going to be June 1st and 2nd?
June 1st and 2nd.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of places to stay up there. I mean, that is hotels wonderland. Everywhere.
You can always sleep in a tent.
I don't think you have to. There are enough places.
No, I know. No, there's plenty of hotels. They're constantly building new hotels. Uh-huh. In fact, I think they're building a brand new $50 million resort right across from our house. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I thought you kind of lived in an exclusive area over there.
We live on the lake.
Yeah?
Yeah, right across the lake.
I know what you're talking about, because there was that property that was over there. So they built on that.
Historical property.
Yes.
They tore it down, and now they're building a $50 million restaurant and resort area. Yeah, Kalahari is.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, that will be nice. Okay, right next door.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go over and have coffee at Rick's house if you were staying at the hotel.
I guess.
And so how's Susan doing? How's everybody?
She's doing great.
Okay. And she's excited about this 25 years as well?
She loves it just as much as I do.
Yeah, of course she does.
We're so lucky to be able to do what we love. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's awesome.
Yep.
Sometimes, you know, when we're both exhausted and we do the show and
you still have to pinch yourself.
Audience is having such a good time and so appreciative, and some of the nice comments, it just makes it all worth it.
Yeah.
You know.
And as far as this convention goes, that you've been coming here for how many years?
Since 2002. I competed in the Ron McMillan close-up competition. Obie was one of the judges, and Hank Morehouse, and I was second runner-up. Okay. And after that, Obie invited me to the convention. I've always loved close-up.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun. In fact, in the show, I do some of the tricks that I did at that in that competition. One of them was Daryl's chameleons cards.
Oh, is that right?
And Daryl was in the audience when I did it. And he said, "You fooled me with my own trick." And I was like, "Awesome."
Yeah. Well, I remember you do that coin explosion.
Yeah, that's a great trick. I talk about my dad. Mm-hmm. And how he
good reputation.
He loved watching my magic. Mm-hmm. And it's a true story. You know, he'd go home from work, he'd always say, "Hey, you got a new trick for me?" And he always loved the coin tricks. So I dedicated that one to him.
So at this convention, what have you seen so far that has wowed you?
Oh, Kristen Grace came up with an awesome trick. He has you just think of a card, you count, you spell out the card, and then when you turn it over, you take the next card, you turn it over, and it's the card that you thought of, which is awesome, first of all. But then he turns over all the other cards, and they're all blank. And I was like, what? What? I couldn't believe it. That was awesome.
Is that a commercial trick that he's selling?
I think he's going to be selling it. I don't even know what it's called. Huh. But and then Xavier, he makes all those coins. I can't remember his last name. He showed me something this morning, and it was like real magic. Yeah. I think it was like muscle reading or something like that.
Okay.
You know, and he was just holding my wrist.
Yes.
And I was just thinking of where my card was.
Right.
I couldn't believe it. It was like real magic.
Yeah.
I was like, I gave him a hug.
I'm so excited.
You fooled me.
Right. I know. Isn't that something? How excited we get over magic?
I was at dinner with Michael Breger and Danny Archer and Mike D'Souza and Bernardo Sedlicek.
Yeah.
And Bernardo did something, did several things during dinner or after dinner. But this one particular thing, we're still scratching our heads. That's absolutely impossible.
Oh, with the mirror?
No.
Bernardo? Okay.
No. He does special moments for everybody. So,
yeah, I know.
It's exactly the way I'm explaining it. This is not just the way I remember it, but all of us have talked about this. And it was a borrowed deck of cards of Danny Archer's. And then I gave it to Mark. Mark shuffled the cards. And then under the table, he shuffled them some more. And he turned over one card inside the pack, right? Underneath the table. Bernardo's across the table from him. I mean, he's looking at me in the eyes as he's doing this, but he's still under the table. He can't say anything. So he says, you know, bring it up, the cards to begin with, you know, face up. But before he does that, he brings them, or he says, yeah, bring them up, and so it's going to be face down. Take that back. One more thing that he did. He said, put the cards back in the box. So the cards are in the box. He takes the card, they're out of the box, under the table, shuffles them up, and then he takes the box that is, you know, Mark can put the cards back in the box. He then takes the box, just places it on the table. So Bernardo said, okay, and he picks the cards up, the box, and he's dropping it, you know, like it's just a few inches from the top of the table. It said, I think it's a red card, you know, maybe black. I think it's red. I'm going to say, I think it is probably a heart. And then he'll say, saying to Danny or somebody or Michael and saying, What number are you thinking of? And he said, 4. And he said, could be a 4. I'm thinking you might be one off. It's about 3. You know, I think it's a 4. I think you're right. I think it's like a 4. I think it's a 4 of hearts. And said, okay. So, again, he's just picking up the, just dropping the deck. Not doing anything beyond that. Then he says, Mark, go ahead, open up the deck of cards. Spread the cards so they're all face up. And he starts going through all the cards, face up, spread. And there's no 4 hearts there, but there's one card face down, turns it over, and that's 4 hearts.
Huh. Yeah.
I mean, it's exactly like that.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know how you can explain it. And the funny thing was that he had done that earlier in the dinner, and then he says, Bernardo says, oh, it didn't work. And he said, wait a minute, there's something I did wrong there. And we're all going, you didn't do anything. What do you mean you did wrong? You know?
You know.
And then later in the dinner, he did that perfectly.
Every year we come here, I mean, there's so much great magic.
Yeah.
I mean, all the time. We're just so lucky to be here. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're constantly seeing cool stuff.
Yeah.
All the time. And that's why, you know, I say, I'm going to bed early tonight. You know, it's always like 3:30 and you're still up.
Well, that is early.
I mean, yeah, but it's just, oh gosh.
Yeah.
We're so lucky.
We are lucky to be in this art and to have the opportunity to entertain other people, as Jimmy C was saying about how that you bring smiles of joy to other people's lives.
Jimmy C, I mean, it's awesome that he was honored. Jimmy C loves people. He wants to make a difference in people's lives. Mm-hmm. He wants to bring joy to people. And I could see that when we were touring China.
Yeah, China. Yeah.
I mean, constantly Jimmy was performing.
Because you brought him with you.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, he volunteered. He goes, hey, I want to come with you because I want to help. He goes, you don't have to pay me. You know, I still paid him, but it was a lot of fun. I'm really glad he came because whenever there was a moment where we could just relax, of course, we were thinking about magic. We were doing magic on the bus, in the airplane, wherever we were, working on something. And those are some really fun memories. So
yeah, that's great.
Street performing, everything. It's just great.
Well, I'm going to have to let you go.
All right.
I appreciate your time and everything.
Yeah, you bet.
It's been great. Always good seeing you then, Rick.
All right.
Bessie and
nice
Susan,
you too.
Congratulations again.
Thank you.
On 25 years and also on the Melbourne Christopher Award.
Thank you.
For the Magic Word Podcast. That was Rick Wilcox. Scotty out.
Thanks, Scott.
So I'm here now with a married couple who were engaged and married 10 years ago with here at the 4F, and this is Roger Nego and Eva May. Hello, hello.
Hello.
9 years ago. 9 years ago.
Lots of years.
Yeah, it's been several years.
It feels like 50.
And
a half.
Underwater.
Yeah. And a half.
So this obviously means, this particular convention means a lot to you. And so you've been coming for years prior to this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, I was actually a performer at the Forks Hotel.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is kind of like my home. But I actually met Eva about 25 years ago here, you know, at the 4F. And we'd only ever talked about magic until I went over to a convention in the UK when she was invited as a surprise dinner guest. She and I started talking about real life and found out that we have an awful lot in common.
I was a surprise. I nearly didn't go for dinner. I was really busy, and then I felt bad. So I went at the last minute.
So glad you did.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And so how did that come about as far as you deciding to get married here then?
Well, we started, you know, an online more or less relationship. We met at several conventions.
No, he means decide to get married here?
Oh, why did we decide to get married here?
Yeah.
Oh, well, the reason is because most of our friends are magicians. Most of them are entertainers, and we couldn't figure out a better way of getting 200 of our closest friends in the same room at the same time.
Yeah. I think it's kind of cool that you had Jimmy C as your officiant.
Right. Yeah. Jimmy C is our officiant. Yeah. That's right.
And Oscar Munoz to give me away.
And of course, Christian Shank was my best man.
Yeah.
Which made it perfect with everybody being here. And of course, this year we're having Jimmy C as one of the honorees of this convention, and it's too. Mm-hmm. So have you seen much of the convention from the standpoint you've been a dealer? So have you seen a lot?
I mean, I've been predominantly in the dealer room, but I have seen the evening shows. So.
Looks like they got the kiss cam going on over here behind us.
Yeah, they do.
We're getting ready for the Asian show.
Yeah, it's
the Korean show.
Korean show. Yeah. So, and Charming Choi is another honoree for the guest of honor, and he brought his whole entourage of Korean performers.
Yeah, and these guys, from what I've seen already, have been amazing.
Yes.
So looking forward to seeing that's going to be starting here any moment. It should be a lot of fun. So, what's been one of the most exciting things in MMA that you've seen that's been memorable this year?
Oh, the coin guy from China yesterday. I can't remember his name. He was unbelievable.
They did the coin trick?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. He was fabulous. I think it appears to be a karaoke going on now in the background. Not so much of the background. And I didn't have John Allen down as a karaoke dude.
Yeah,
that's a surprise. So there's lots of surprises here, and that's one of them.
Yes. Well, they're moving around the camera here trying to get people. What about you then, Roger? What have you seen that's been outstanding to you?
I think, well, one of the most impressive and youngest members of the 4F that just blows me away every time I see him is Christian Grace.
Yeah.
And Christian he's blown me away three times with some of his newest creations. And it's always good to be fooled.
I was just talking with someone earlier, and they were saying about this amazing trick he was doing that had like blank cards or something.
Yes.
And he's going to be marketing that soon. Is he going to be going through you guys with your cards, make the cards?
That is yet to be, determined.
Okay.
What's going to happen?
Do they have an idea what the name of the trick's going to be?
I can't disclose any of this information.
Okay. No exclusive here.
No.
No scoop. But what new things have you got, by the way, that Card Shark is offering? What new stuff have you got? Nothing new.
We do some from Paralabs. We have a new depicting thoughts tossed out deck, which is really really good, and it's a mentalist routine with picture cards, and we have a tossed out deck that matches the actual deck itself. So that's new and exciting. We have a new version of the Rex Ignis that will be coming out. A lot of our other stuff is being updated, along with our regular playing cards.
You're going to be at Magic Live this year?
Yes, we will.
And you'll have something new because Magic Live is where everybody introduces new stuff all the time.
Right. Yeah. That and Blackpool. Yeah, those two areas, yeah. So, yeah, we will.
Blackpool, good for you this year?
Blackpool was phenomenal for us this year. Yes, it was.
Yeah. Did you have fun at Blackpool also?
I did, yeah. Very, very good. Yeah, yeah, excellent.
I thought it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. All right. I think
it's getting
a little bit crazier than
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it really is.
It is a kiss cam, and it's everybody's kissing each other on the camera. All right, so the Magic Word Podcast, we'll start to shut this down because we're getting ready for the main show here. Oh, it's right, I'm like a minute late right now. That's why they're getting ready. So thank you, May and Roger, Nico.
Thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Scott.
It's Scotty F.
So this evening we had a wonderful show by Korean magicians, and there was a group of eight people who were here, and it was hosted by Charming Choi, who was also a guest of honor, and one of the people who was performing is a person you may have seen on Masters of Illusion and other TV shows, my friend and yours, Jackie Yu. Hey, Jackie.
Hi, Scott.
Yeah, so good to see you here at the convention. How many 4Fs have you been to? This is your...
This is second time.
Second time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, first one was 2013. Yeah. It was a beautiful memory. And this one is such an honor to be here again. And we really enjoyed it, and people really loved our show. Yeah. I'm so happy with that. Yes.
Everybody did something different.
Yeah.
You know, cards and coins and stand up and comedy and serious and manipulation and everything was absolutely perfect. It was great.
Yeah.
Standing ovations.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, more than any of the rest of the shows, you know,
right.
They were so glad that all of you guys came.
Yeah.
I mean, Korea is not very close. You know?
Yeah.
You don't get here very often. You know,
yeah. So. Yes, I'm living in near Atlanta right now.
Yes.
But they are from, Korea. Maybe it takes like 16 hours to here.
16 hours?
Yeah,
okay.
16 hours.
Yeah.
And maybe layover 20 hours.
Yeah.
Crazy. But they have a real great passion.
Yeah.
And they love magic, and they love creating their own magic. And that, brought us, all around the world and even 4F. So it's such an honor to be here to, great musicians. Yeah.
Did you help coordinate this with Choi? I mean, since you were here in the U.S.?
No, I didn't. But actually, he's perfect for everything, and he organized everything. I can't imagine how he brought everything. There's so many new acts together, and he emceeing all the performers.
Yes.
It was really great. Yeah.
I know, for an example, there was one gentleman who just had finished his time in the service. He was in the military, just finished two weeks ago.
Yes, right. He's amazing. Yeah, he's a creator of the Watch This. And I've been watching his magic for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I love his creating and passion. And also, that's really great.
Yeah.
To serve the military and back. And he enjoy his life right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's I'm very happy to see him. Yeah.
And so it's been a lot of fun probably to see a lot of your friends come over here, for this then too.
Yeah, this is amazing because I never imagined that I could mess so many of my friends here in 4F Buffalo.
Yes.
It's just crazy.
I understand that Charming Choi has a TV show.
He
hosts in Korea.
Yes, he had a lot of TV shows over the years. Every time he brought a new style of TV shows, so it brought new energy. And bring so many opportunities to young magicians, so including myself. So it's really great.
Now, so you've been on his show?
Yeah, I've been on the show. Yeah, when I was in Korea, he brought me on his TV show. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to talk with him, but your English is a little bit better to understand. I think when it's over the broadcast episode here, the podcast, I thought it'd be better to chat with you. So I was asking you a little bit about him. But in his show, is it mainly magic, or does he have other kind of variety artists? He have singers and have dancers?
I think, his show is about all about magic.
Oh, okay.
But these days, he focuses on mental magic, so mentalism. So
really? Mentalism, okay.
Mentalism. So I heard he did, online mentalism shows and also theatrical mentalism shows. Yeah, many, many years with the new own style. Yeah, it's really great.
Yeah.
Everybody should see it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's really great.
Yeah. Is that available that you can watch on YouTube? Can you see some of his clips maybe? Or?
I don't think so because, it's just only for the theatrical experience. Mm,
okay.
So he keeps it. Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
For life.
Well, I'm glad that all of you guys came over. As I said, it was just very enjoyable, a lot of fun. And I could tell you guys were all having fun together with that. So
Thank you so much,
Jackie.
Thank you.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, this is Jackie Yu, Scotty out.